It's Monday. Let's raise a glass to the beginning of another week. It's time to unscrew, uncork, or saber a bottle, and let's begin exploring the wine glass. Today, I sit down with some of my wine writer friends, and we discuss an increasing number of celebrities who are entering the wine business. Are they just slapping their name on a label to help a product sell? Or are they following their passion and truly wanting to learn what it takes to produce high-quality wines? Would you buy a wine simply because a celebrity makes it? Let's find out. Welcome back to Exploring the Wine Glass podcast, the podcast for people who love wine and want to explore it more. I'm Lori Budd, a UC Davis winemaking program, Sommelier Service, and WSET Level 2 graduate. You can find Exploring the Wine Glass on all of the socials as well as your favorite podcast catchers. Thank you to everyone who has given us a review. Leaving a review on iTunes or the purple icon or whatever the heck it's called will drive us up the charts and allow more wine lovers to find us. If you haven't subscribed yet, now is the perfect time. I promise, I'll never tell you what to drink, but I'll always share what's in my glass. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Tonight I have a special treat in store for you. It's been a long time since I've done a wine writer's wrap-up. It was pre-COVID, and this is way too many months into COVID, but I'm thinking it's been like 8 months since I've done a wine writer's wrap-up. So I am happy to be here. Yeah, right? I am so happy to be here. I'm so happy to see my friends here on screen. Wish it was in live person, but we'll have to deal with the screen now. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves because they can tell their story better than I can. So Anatoly, you're up big screen with me, so I'm going to go there first.
All right. I'm Anatoly Vin. I write a blog called Tocovino. I don't have any particular preferences. I like wine. I like any sort of good wine. As long as it gives you pleasure, bring it on.
I like it. I like it.
Enough for introduction.
Hey, John?
I'm John Taylor. I've been a sales and marketing professional in Napa Valley for the past, almost 11 years now. I write a blog called Pairs with Life, and I host a podcast called Pairs with Life, and I recently wrote a book called Pairs with Life.
Pairs with Life.
So unexpected.
Yes. Yeah. Stay consistent on brand. That's the message okay. There. Coming out September 15th.
Yay! And if you listen to his podcast, you get a preview of some chapters. And I have listened to them, so yay!
Thank you.
Absolutely. Nicole?
Hi, I'm Nicole Ruiz Hudson. I blog about wine mostly at the Sommelier's Table. I also have another blog called Nibbling Gypsy, and you can find me in all of the platforms. Right now, I'm basically drinking from home, and I like to drink everything, too.
There you go. And Debbie?
I'm Debbie G. Aquindo. I'm known as the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. I write under HudsonValleyWineGoddess.com. I'm a certified specialist of wine and a wine location specialist in Port and Champagne. I'm author of a book called Tapping the Hudson Valley, Day Trips and Weekend Itineraries, visiting the craft beverage producers of the Hudson Valley. And I own a restaurant in Stone Harbor, New Jersey called Kitchen 330, and I think that's about it for now.
That has finally been allowed to open the doors to inside dining. Yay!
Wow. Woohoo! Yeah. At 25% occupancy, but beggars can't be choosers.
Right. And I am your host, Lori. I write under Exploring the Wine Glass, and my husband, Michael, and I own Dracena Wines in Paso Robles, California. We specialize in Cabernet Franc. I am WSET Level 2 certified. Thanks to the pandemic, I am Sommelier Service certified, and I am Champagne certified. I've been busy on my computer during the pandemic. So today on Wine Writers Wrap Up, we are going to talk about celebrity wines and what our thoughts are behind this whole trend is probably the only word I can say of these celebrities making wine. So that is going to be my very first question is, do you as a panel, do you even consider them making wine? Or is it them just putting their name behind the brand, and does that make a difference to you?
Okay, I'll go first then. I'll take a shot. So for 3 years, I was the director of consumer sales for Yao Family Wines in Napa Valley, which was headed up by Yao Ming, a very famous, actually Hall of Fame basketball player for the Houston Rockets, and maybe the most famous person of our generation to come out of China. And the structure literally was that Yao was head of the board, president of the company, but we had hired a winemaker to do the winemaking. Now, in the beginning, Yao was very much involved in the process of determining the flavor profile of the wine. He would come into the country 4 or 5 times a year. He would help with tastings, barrel tastings. He would help with the blending. And he and the winemaker would spend hours together, literally, talking about how he wanted the wine to taste and what he wanted out of that. But once that was determined, it was basically on autopilot after that. He then let the company, the rest of the officers of the company and the rest of the board run with it. And that was that. So the involvement was intense at first, and then almost zero after that.
From my understanding from different companies, it's kind of similar that quite a few of them are very involved, and then it can be to just putting their name in the bottle and everything in between, as far as like my understanding of the different celebrity wines that I've tasted go. And I certainly can't blame them. If I had their money and abilities, and I would do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree 100% with that, because you've got some celebrities who are, you know, who maybe in the back of their mind have always wanted to be a part of a winery or have a winery or be involved in wine. They've always loved wine and want to be involved somehow. And then their agents are giving them opportunities at a different level of involvement. You know, either we can just license your name to Robert Mondavi, and it's Joe Famous Person's wine by Robert Mondavi, and they have zero involvement except that they license their name and they get a paycheck from day one. Or they stroke a check for $10 million and buy a winery, you know, and then you go back to that famous joke of, you know, how do you make a small fortune, right? You take a large fortune and buy a winery. So.
But the wineries that, you know, like, you know, the actors that actually purchase the winery, say, what, you know, what percentage of them are really still involved? Or is it a tax write-off for them? So they bought this chateau, whatever, or a winery, and, you know, the people there work, you know, what kind of quality are they looking for? Do they, you know, do anything, or they just have somebody in charge and does whatever they think is right for that person?
Well, as somebody who owns a winery, I can very much say it's probably started off as a tax write-off, because I'm sure as they first start, you know, as John said, you know, how do you make a small fortune? You start with a large fortune. It's tough to get into the black owning a winery. But I guess my biggest thing is I don't really care either way. They can do whatever they want. But my issue is some of these celebrities are calling themselves winemakers. And that bothers me, because they are just slapping their name on a label. And they aren't a winemaker. They own a winery. And, you know,
they own a wine label.
They own a
produced
by somebody, right? And so Now, I'm going to throw John Bon Jovi under the bus because he's from Jersey. His Hampton Water, right? He's brilliant because, A, Hampton Water is like the, you know, the women, you know, the Chardonnay name, you know, all of that stuff in the Hamptons. You can't get any more of that look or, you know, I'm blanking on the word I want to say, but, you know, what people think. And so he's calling this Hampton Bay Water or Hampton Water for the Hamptons specifically, for these women who love the wines. But he went to France and he went to a legit, you know, Bertrand as his winemaker. So I don't know what involvement. I read an article a long time ago that him and his son were truly involved in doing blending, you know, trials and all of this and all of that. But I don't know, you know, how involved he is, but he doesn't call himself a winemaker. He out and out says, you know, George Bertrand is the winemaker. So I have, you know, that I'm okay with. I don't have an issue with that. But you can't do anything without thinking Cameron Diaz. What's our thoughts on Cameron Diaz, who rose to fame, got a wine, and plummeted rather quickly?
I don't think she called herself a winemaker, right? So I don't think so. But the problem is that she got some idiot PR people who recommended this clean wine crop as an approach, because the wine itself is not bad. I mean, I had this wine. It's quite drinkable. Yes, I wrote about this wine. It's quite drinkable. The problem is that you go on a website, there is no information about this wine. There is really nothing there. There is all this blah, blah about how clean it is and how they not put in additive. But you can't even use the words like that. You can't come up with this. As soon as you say, I produce clean wine, you instantly, all other millions who don't say that, then instantly, what do you think of them? Oh, they're not clean, right? So it's just whoever was that genius, that was absolute stupidity. But the wine is okay, you know. But again, I have a problem with the website, which doesn't talk anything. Yeah. Doesn't talk about wine. There is a huge difference. They make it in France, and there is a huge difference. You look at
she makes it in France?
The Miraval. Yeah. One of them is. French. Rosé is French, and the white is from Penedès, so it's from Spain.
Okay.
So one is French, one is Spanish. So Spanish wine is that I don't know what they did. I don't think Spain even has denomination for this type of wines, because France at least has one for the France. It's a French wine. Right. But Spain, they just say it's product of Spain. There is no denomination of any sort on that white wine. But anyway, if you think about, you go look at the Miraval website, Angelina and Brad, and that website talks about wine, the winery, and everything. It doesn't talk about clean, not clean, you know?
Right. She did say she was on an interview, and the whole clean wine, that could be a whole other podcast on its own. But she did say, we make wine. And I don't know if she meant it as her and her, I don't know who the person is, who her partner is. But she said, we make the wine to be blah, 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 you know, whatever she was saying. So listening to that, I guess you could take it as, you know, I call myself we with the Miami Dolphins, and I sure as hell don't play for the Miami Dolphins, but I don't know if she meant it that way. But when you're being picked at for other things, people are going to pick at you for everything you say.
I would totally agree with I would totally agree that, like, to me, I don't have a problem with her making wine. I don't have any problem with any celebrity making wine, but I think that the point that their PR team did a really bad job is a really valid one, because I haven't tried the wine, but similarly, when I went and saw some of the articles, saw the website, it makes it seem like they invented natural wine, which no matter what you feel about natural wine, I feel like there's a lot of wine producers out there that might take some issue with that. You're like, right. You know what, we've been doing this for a while, and you're not the first.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my takeaway.
That's fine that they're making wine or that they have, you know, a winery producing their label. But I also think that they have to be educated. They need to be educated in the process, what's involved with what they're producing. Okay. And not just like the PR, the manager saying, we need to have a wine in our portfolio of stuff that you're doing. So you got to rotate.
So,
Cameron Diaz, the clean wine. She doesn't know anything about clean wine. She's talking and there isn't, you know, what that, like you said, Lori, that's a whole other podcast. But
That brings up the, do you guys remember when Drew Barrymore brought out her wine?
Yeah.
I have not tasted it, so I'm not going to talk about what the wine is or not.
It was not bad. It was Sauvignon Blanc. It was not bad. It was not innocent, like the not earth-shattering, but it was decent.
Okay. Her interview, did anybody see or read her interview?
No.
And honestly, it was a few years ago, so I can't remember exactly what it was. But there were John shaking his head, do you remember?
Yeah.
Like, there were so many things that were wrong with what she was saying. Do you remember any specifics, John?
I was going to say the exact same thing you were. I couldn't tell you, like, one of the specific things she said, but it just showed this fundamental lack of understanding of her own product. That, you know, she was very excited. She seemed genuinely excited to be releasing a wine, but she had no idea about what the wine was, or she couldn't speak to, you know, Sauvignon Blanc as a varietal or any of these things. And, you know, I think it speaks to what all of you have been saying, is that there's this, maybe it's a fundamental lack of respect for the tradition and the conventions and the norms. And I suppose that could be its own podcast as well, about, well, what is the importance of the tradition and norms of wine. But as a thing that's been going on for about 4,000 years, it does have its roots and its, you know, its foundations. And, you know, like you said, people want to go to the website and see, all right, what did you do? Where did this wine come from? Tell me about the vineyard. Tell me about the winemaker. Tell me about the process. You know, I'm interested. What did you do? But the approach seems to come like, here's your next movie. This is going to be a thing that we do that's going to make a ton of money, and then we're going to do something else.
If you're treating it like that, at least you can learn your lines.
Right. Good point. Good point, Nicole.
Yeah, it boils down to the writer who's failing because they're not writing the script well enough and researched enough for her to speak it.
Go ahead, Antoine.
It's complicated. Everything in life is actually complicated, but really, this is complicated because I don't think there is no cookie cutter. They all come to this for different reasons, and then some of them stay, and some of them move on, and the name stays, and it becomes just a business. Because, for example, if you look at I hate with passion website of Post Malone. His wine is very good. I mean, this Mason number 9 is a very good Provençal wine. And if you read the story, and the only place to read the story was an interview with his producer on Forbes, and he decided to, he wanted to start like his own wine because he became passionate about wine. he loved the wine, and he got into that after he did this Spencer Confidential, after he did this movie, and I forgot who he was playing with, one of the more famous guys as actors, and so he slowly got into wine, and then they started looking for the winery, and they were actually like tasting, they were tasting different wines, so they were trying to come up with the taste which he was actually wanted it to be, and so on. But again, you go to the website, and it's like, here it is, buy wine, buy merchandise, that's it.
Because that's like, all they're that's all they're interested in.
I don't know, so, but he came, he went into this project because of the passion to wine, or at least according to that story. You know, in today's world, nobody knows what you can believe, what you cannot, but
so
it's complicated.
I'm going to share a little embarrassing moment here, but I'll share it. It's okay. So, Anton, when I read your post about Malone and, Cameron Diaz and all that stuff, when I saw Malone, I was like, oh, my God, Carl Malone is making a wine. The mailman is delivering wine. So I was like, that's awesome. Here's this professional basketball player following in Yao Ming's footsteps. I had to look up who Post Malone was. I had no clue who it was. I was like, oh, Post Malone. Do you mean the mailman? Because, like, postman, mailman, like
No, that's an actual name, and Jim left a very JVB. That he left a very interesting comment about the fact that he can't get. Post Malone has very interesting tattoos. Like his tattoos under the eyes look just nothing but painful. It looks like an absolute pain to me. I look at that, I'm like ah. So that's personal choice. That's fine. But Jim left an interesting comment. To that regard.
Yeah, see, thinking basketball. I go right to sports.
No, Lori, my daughter perfectly knows who. Actually, I think I wrote in the post that my daughter was the one who said, oh, by the way, Post Malone, he makes the wine. And I'm like, really? Okay, I'll find it. So I have to ask my friend to get it, you know.
I listened to his music. I actually didn't know he made wine. So. Good to know.
Oh, there you go.
he's a singer. He's first and foremost known as a singer. Yeah.
What?
But his Mason Number Wine is not a bad wine.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
And I think there are others too. Like I know, Sting and his wife have a wine. Tuscany. Mm-hmm. I think it's been a while since I've had them, but they've made some really lovely Tuscan wines. I feel like they sort of take their I don't know, like they're present in some of the labels and iconography in a little bit of way, but I feel like they're not putting themselves front and center.
Kylie
Minogue
kind of
just produced wines, a few different wines, but this is all in UK, so you can't get it here. I think it's like very small production right now available in UK only. I would love to
Skins?
Try. No. Kylie Minogue. Kylie.
Oh.
The singer.
Oh, see, if it's not Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, Metallica,
I have no clue
who these people
if
are.
If it's Kylie, I think Kylie Jenner.
Jenner.
No.
That's
different.
The Kylie I would think of. So I have a bunch of, from Wine Spectator, I went through Wine Spectator and found some celebrity wine. So Sting's, now obviously they make more than one wine, but Sting's Il Palagio Sister Moon Red is from Toscana, and it got 88 points. So depending on how you feel about that 90 break, good or bad. But I just, like, I mean, there's other, and I don't know, see, again, I don't know if you, the general public, would call this a celebrity wine, but, like, I oohed and aahed before, very early on in Paso. I oohed and aahed that Gary Eberle is in Paso. To me, that's a celebrity. Like, he's a national football player, you know, and he's the godfather of Paso. And I will tell you, he makes awesome wine. But he's, you know, like he's the face of that winery. He's everything there. He's there. You walk up to the winery and he's sitting there drinking the wine. You know, so I guess it also depends on what you consider a celebrity. So some other celebrities, Sarah Jessica Parker makes a wine.
Yeah.
Anybody have that?
Nope.
It has gotten hammered in ratings, but I've never had it.
What kind of wine is it? Where is it made?
She does a Sauvignon Blanc. I don't know if this is the only thing they make, but that's Sauvignon Blanc. I don't know. The first few people weren't on Wine Enthusiast. Mm-hmm. So Sarah Jessica Parker, Ernie Els, George Lucas. That is a tax write-off. Yeah. Like I said, Jon Bon Jovi. Kyle MacLachlan. I had to Google him to see who he was. Twin Peaks.
I have no idea.
I still don't know Twin Peaks, but oh.
Okay.
He was in Dune also. I just don't know who he is. Now this one, Charles Woodson. Mm-hmm. See, now I love Charles Woodson because his wine, I did an article about him, and I have not had his wine, but his wine proceeds, like a large portion, and it may be 100% of the proceeds go back to the inner schools, inner cities where he grew up.
He was very serious about the project, I can tell you that.
Yes.
We were talking with them all the time about how we could cross-promote, you know, being athletes and everything like that, and you know, how we can help each other out. And they were very active in outreach to other wineries. And it seemed like a very serious venture to him.
Yeah, he does take it seriously. Again, he's not the winemaker. He just has put his name on it, but he has, like that I love. Here's this guy who, like, incredible athlete and is taking his name to give back to community. You can't ask for more than that. Zach Brown makes a wine. Drake makes a sparkling.
Really?
And,
wow.
And John Legend makes a sparkling.
That one I've had the rosé anyway, and that was pretty good.
John Legend or Drake?
John Legend.
John Legend.
I like Sarah Jessica Parker's label for some reason. It's just very simple.
I shared in the chat if anyone.
Yeah.
What is? I haven't clicked the link because I'm afraid what's going to happen if I click the link. What does it look like?
It just has an X. Like it almost looks like a finger painted in sky blue or like a bluish, an X. And it just has the name on top. It's just very simple.
Right, because label is In Vivo X. Mm-hmm. And then SJP, yeah. Sarah Jessica Parker.
The New Jersey housewife, the one that's in jail or was in jail. I don't remember her name.
Bethany.
New Jersey.
We have a little connection there with the brownstone.
She had a wine. I don't know if it's still out there, but it was made at the same place where we made our wine, and all it was a production.
Yeah,
it kind of, a little inside stuff. It was like she wanted to make a Bellini. It was made.
She's the one who owns the brownstone, right? Her and her husband owned the brownstone, and that's in New Jersey, and that's where all of our sports banquets for the high school I teach at, that's where all of our sports banquets are at. There might have been a few stuff going on behind the scenes there. But we digress. All right, so I have, as I said, from Wine Spectator, if you go by Wine Spectator, the celebrities don't exactly make great wine. So there, I have like 27, I think there's here. There's like 20. So they went, so in lowest order, Jeff Gordon.
Oh, Sonoma.
Yeah, Sonoma. Actually, the one they rated is a cab from Napa.
Oh, no kidding. Oh,
yeah, a cab. A cab from.
He was Sonoma born and bred. He came from Sonoma.
Really?
Sonoma, grew up at Sonoma, raced at Sonoma Raceway, and he's just Mr. Sonoma. So, of course, he should be making Sonoma wines.
Yeah, well, I guess he makes Sonoma wines, but this one that I found on Wine Enthusiast is a cab from Napa Valley, got 83 points.
Well, there you go.
God. Anyone even publishes that stuff? Wow, 83.
Oh, if you submit to Wine Enthusiast, it gets published whether you want it or not. You can pay to have it bigger and to have your label, but they have the right to publish whatever they would like.
Sure, no, that's fine. I'm just...
Spectators, because I used to work there, they will publish... they only publish above a certain level, but then...
That's what I would think, yeah. Maybe it's in a database. Maybe you can still find it. I don't think it's like really... I hope it's not published. That's...
But it doesn't go in the magazine.
Yeah.
Right, it might not go in the magazine, but I was searching.
Yeah. If you're inside, yeah, you will find it, I'm sure.
Okay. Mike Ditka, another guy I absolutely love, okay, also from Napa Valley, another Cabernet Sauvignon. He called it the icon, 85 points, which... Does anybody remember what his number was when he played?
But Laurie, it occurs to me that you and I are at two different ends of the like celebrity, like who are celebrities would be, because I don't follow the sports well. So I'm like,
My celebrities definitely are. I have run into, you know, because from Jersey to LA for college, right, and I would be on flights with so many celebrities, and I would see them like whatever, but put an athlete in front of me, and I'm like whatever. So do you guys know who Yannick Noah is?
Nope.
John, you don't?
Noah?
Okay, so he was a tennis player.
Oh.
Okay. How about Joachim Noah? Oh, okay, never mind. Oh, he's a basketball player.
Wrong crowd, Lori.
He's a basketball player, but I held him in the airport. Like, Yannick Noah was there, and I was like, oh, look at how cute. And the baby was like, come to me. So he handed me his child. And I'm holding him. And then years later, we're watching the March Madness, and there he goes running down the basketball court. And I'm like, oh, my God, I held him as a baby. I'm so old. Yeah, definitely more athlete-driven. Okay, so maybe you guys know who this is, Bethany Frankel?
Yeah.
That's one.
No idea.
That who you were talking about? That's who.
No, I was talking about the lady from New Jersey.
Okay. Oh, all right. So she just makes
a
skinny girl.
Margarita, yeah. Or something like that.
This is just a California white.
Oh, skinny girl is a big line. There is everything in skinny girl, I think.
Yeah.
Including vodka and everything. Yeah.
Skinny girl vodka. I've heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
86 points.
Okay, some progression.
Okay, John, you're going to know, hopefully, I think you'll know, Train.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh,
yeah, right? He actually makes some decent wine, like, but this one wasn't the one I found, he named it Calling All Angels, which is like, all right, do you guys know that song?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. So if you don't know who Train is, you know Calling All Angels. So I'm going to name my wine Calling All Angels. So.
They used to open up for my band back in the 90s. And so I'm bitter. So there you go.
So John, share again, who do you really, really hate? Your podcast was talking about that you were supposed to be on, but he did drugs, so he couldn't be or something.
Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots.
Yes.
So we were supposed to go on a world tour with Stone Temple Pilots, 9 months, starting in Japan, the whole shebang, and then he got busted in West Hollywood, and the whole tour was canceled, and our album was delayed, and all that stuff. So, yeah, I have bitterness for a lot of different people. So, yeah, that's one of them. But now, in your 50s, you start to cultivate bitterness for things to happen. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm assuming everybody knows who Fergie is.
Yeah. She has a wine?
Yeah.
She from the Santa Ynez Valley. A Viognier.
A Viognier.
And again, this is not necessarily the only wine they make. This is just what
I hope it's not.
What's the winery's name?
Crest. And from what I understand, she is very actively involved. It's her, if my memory serves me correct, her and her father. I remember reading very, very actively involved in the process. And she wants to learn the actual process. That got an 87.
Getting there.
I'm going to skip the next one because there's absolutely no way I don't know who this person is, but I'll try it. Gerard Depardieu?
No, Depardieu? Come on. He's an actor. He's a French actor.
French actor.
He's very famous.
Yeah.
From Cyrano de Bergerac and my fellow.
Yeah.
Famous French actor. Yeah, Lori, you are into sports. We know.
I was like, I have no idea who this person is. It is a Pinot, a Vin de France,
nice.
87 yeah. points.
Oh, that's so disappointing. You'd think that like a famous French actor.
Yeah, can do better in France, right? Yeah. I think this guy just put his name on it. I would be very surprised if he's involved into anything. That's what I'm saying. Maybe I'm 1,000% wrong, and I should be slapped for saying that. But I don't know.
What I noticed? I noticed that Kylie Minogue wine that you posted the link to, Anatoly,
mm-hmm.
the bottle is a lot like the Miraval wine.
Huh. Oh, is it? Oh.
This is a popular shape. This is for higher end. This is a higher end Mediterranean. This is a Mediterranean style higher end. If you've seen Ali from Frescobaldi, same shape, same.
Okay.
Very nice shape. So this is it's a higher end the Provence wines which they try to stress their pedigree. They go with this shape.
Okay.
So it's not there are more. There are more in this shape. If you look, there are more.
And Anatoly, you've had that wine. You've had her wine.
Kylie Minogue, no.
Oh. Okay.
No, they are in UK only. No, sorry.
Oh, that's who you were saying was only in the UK.
Yeah. I would love to treat it. It sounds good. I mean, her information is about wines. It's actually about wines. It's not by merch as. Post Malone website says.
Okay. The next one, which I think is kind of funny, but not really funny, because he has a full-out winery and everything that we visited, Mario Andretti.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there, too.
Yeah.
Full-out winery. Yeah. He's got this, what they rated was a Super Tuscan Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon Sangiovese.
How can it be Super Tuscan if it's Napa?
Thank you.
Super Tuscan.
It's Napa, you can say whatever you want. Super Tuscan is not regulated. You can say whatever you want.
It's not regulated?
I thought that was regulated.
No. Super Tosca, no. Common term. Common term.
Media, you know, mean.
I knew it was a media,
this
but
is how
I
we,
that
yeah.
Okay.
No, no.
I know.
If you see an IGT from Tuscany, that would be your Super Tuscan.
Okay. So kind of along the Fumé Blanc, let's just be smart in media. And
no, this is, no, but it just tells you that this is a wine from Tuscany, which is not Chianti. That's all it, more or less, that's all.
Okay.
What
right.
it is.
Well, he got 87 points. Mm-hmm. So does anybody know how actively involved he is? No,
but to jump back for a second, I'm just looking at, I was curious, so I looked up some of the other Ferguson Crest scores, and she's gotten a few up there into the 90s, another vintage.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, she, sorry, like I said, she's actively, I remember reading an article that said she was actively involved in not just, you know, I'm here, you know, look at me. She's actively involved in trying to learn the process that she, and this was a few years ago, that she actually wanted to learn the process to become the winemaker, but realized she needed to learn before she took over. So.
Smart.
Okay. Andrea Bocelli?
Andrea Bocelli.
Andrea Bocelli, yes.
He's opera, right?
Right.
Or,
yes.
Nicely done.
All right. Sangiovese, 88 points. And I haven't seen these on in real life.
Is that actual Italian wine?
Yeah, from Toscana.
Okay.
Nicole, were you going to say
the
something?
Question is, how much is imported? If any.
From having worked there, I at Wine Spectator at least, I do actually, I think anything 87, 88 and above is considered, should be considered good. Like, it should be taken like a B+.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Really? It's a B+.
Yeah.
Like, I agree.
Goes along with, like, your high school grading scale, like, and they actually can try to, depending on who the taster is, a lot of them are like really strict about their 90s and above. So depending on who's the taster.
That's
by the
like
way,
when
his wines are available. Wine.com sells his Toscana Rosso, Sangiovese, Prosecco.
Oh.
Yep, Wine.com sells all of this. Wine.com is doing good at selling. They represent all the celebrities. That's where all the celebrities go, I guess. Beautiful label, by the way.
Is it Musically?
Uh-huh.
Is it like music?
Yep. Very nice label.
So, Nicole, that goes back to like when I first started teaching. I remember my supervisor said, you cannot give a, nobody can get a 100 because nobody is perfect every day. You cannot give 100. You know, like everybody is not perfect any day. So never ever can somebody receive a 100.
Yeah. No, I think a few of the tastes, like 100 point scores are supposed to be extremely rare.
Talk to Parker. Talk to Parker.
I'm only speaking for one Spectator, specifically the New York office. But they, some of them are very loath to give those scores, and that
wine would have to be tasted again. And the other thing is I think a lot of, not celebrity, I'm going off on your tangent, Nicole, is a lot of the reviewers refuse to give a higher score to certain varieties or type styles of wine. Like rosé, I mean, if you get like a 92 rosé, like that is stellar. Like, they just don't seem to want to give high praise to rosés. And I think that that's, I don't know if, you know, I'm not saying good, bad, whatever, but, like, you have to be comparable. You know, there should be 100 rosés out there, but there doesn't seem to be ratings
it's
that way. Yeah. I think that it should be more like a dog show. You know, dog.
Overall.
Right.
Yeah. This is a 100-point rosé. This is a 100-point Sangiovese.
Correct.
These are all 100-point wines. awesome.
Correct. That's how I. Yeah. All right. So Sting is here, right? As I said, he got an 88. His from the Toscana. Lorraine Bracco.
Who's she?
See, now that I know who she is, because she was on The Sopranos. So she was the psychiatrist on The Sopranos,
right?
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. 89. Drew Barrymore's. So here, I'll be Drew Barrymore. So we drink wine when we really enjoy it, if I remember that. Let me just hold my glass the entire interview from the bowl of the wine. that was just one of the things that was so wrong with her interview. 89 points. Here's another. What?
No, it's good for her.
Here is another Fergie, her private reserve Syrah from the Santa Ynez, 90. We've cracked the 90s here.
All right.
Very happy to say Charles Woodson, his Calistoga cab, got 90 points. John Lasseter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Who is he?
He's an actor from, Night Court?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that who that is? The DA?
Yes. From Night Court.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. There's the difference. Well, I at least watch Night Court. But John Lasseter is a character name. I think it's John Lasseter because they always only called him Lassie in the show Psych.
Oh.
Am I the only person who ever watched that show? I think I'm the only person who ever watched that show on the face of the earth. But it is on, I think, HBO Max now or Netflix or whatever. It's a funny show. It's a red. Chemin de Fer Red from Sonoma.
Red. Okay.
91 points.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we have Brad and Angelina. Mm-hmm. Is that the only wine they make? Is that
No, I think they make reds. If I'm not mistaken, I need to check. I think they make something else.
Okay. That their rosé, which so far is the only wine I have actually ever had of the list that I've read so far. I was hesitant to taste it, and I actually really like it. I think Miraval is really good.
Miraval, that's right.
Miraval, 91 points.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Looking to be in the know about Dracena Wines? Want to be the first to know about our new releases and special offers? All you need to do is sign up for our newsletter. There is no commitment necessary, and I promise you, we won't spam your mailbox with loads of messages. Need another reason to sign up? Quite possibly the best reason? You'll immediately get a discount code for 10% off your first purchase and be privy to newsletter-only discounts. Let Dracena Wines turn your moments into great memories. Visit our website, www.dracenawines.com, to sign up by way of the pop-up or sidebar. It will take you less than a minute, but the rewards will last a lifetime.
I like that wine. It just tends to be a little pricey. For me,
yeah.
But
yes,
good.
Quite pricey.
Yeah.
Well,
they have to pay for their divorce.
Nah, it was pricey when they before they started that. So sorry.
right? I think that's the only thing they've actually kept together, right? Everything else has been split.
They cannot agree how to split that. They both love it, for all I understand. Yeah. They both love that place.
And now, welcome to Paso. So, Nigel Lithgow, Villa San Juliet. He's gotten 91 points, but he's gotten 90 plus points for loads of things. Jim Nance. Oh, I'm the only one who knows Jim Nance.
No, I know Jim Nance, a CBS sports announcer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And from the NFL to Masters Golf. Okay. The guy's super versatile.
Yeah. Or super boring, so they send him to golf.
Much better for golf than he is for NFL, if you ask me. That voice.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he's very good. His voice is very good for golf. Yeah. Now, the name of the wine is actually, or the winery is actually pretty cool. The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling. So I don't know if I'm assuming he means because he was a play-by-play analyst.
Maybe there is some passion there, you know.
Yeah. 91 points.
Good
for him. Drew Bledsoe.
Uh-huh. Been doing it a long time.
Yes. Yes. Double back. He's at a Walla Walla. 92 points. It shocks me just because who the actor is and then the score. Emilio Estevez is into wine.
Oh, my.
Didn't even know.
Right? Out of Santa Barbara. 92 points. Huh? And that's a Grenache.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, this, everybody, I think, because this is like legit. Wayne Gretzky.
I've heard that.
You've heard of Wayne Gretzky, or have you heard he's legit?
Both.
I've heard that I know Wayne Gretzky, and I know that he had a wine.
Oh, okay. All right, good. I had a little encounter with Wayne Gretzky in an elevator.
Nice.
Talk about, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Yes, yes. Elevator doors opened. I was with my two friends who had no clue who it was. Elevator door opened, and I was like, oh, my God, Wayne Gretzky. Oh, my, and he probably had a panic attack himself as I stepped on into the elevator. But I controlled myself. He was actually very nice. He was actually very, very nice and did not go running out of the elevator after I went running into it. His ice wine, Cab Franc. Oh, go ahead, Nicole.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. But when you go back, when you're done with this, can we go back to Emilio Estevez for a second?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Yes.
I didn't mean to interrupt. It's just I didn't. I looked up his winery and I realized that I knew the winery. I had no idea he was involved, and I really like Casa Dumas's wine. Had no idea that he was
involved. Oh, see, I've never had the wine. Tell us about the. Are you familiar with the winery?
A little bit. I've met the female winemaker, Sonia, I think her name is. Majesty. met her a couple times, and she has a few different labels, and they're all quite good. One of the others is the Feminist Party, which I think is a cute name. And then I'm blanking on the...
I think I just got a bottle of theirs in a wine club. Shipment, Feminist Party.
I think Clementine Carter is the other one. And so I knew her three labels. I had no idea that he was involved in one of them.
Oh, interesting. See, but now that, so then he's just funding it, and that's good. The wine is standing on its own without using a celebrity to pawn it off, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So Wayne Gretzky, this one got 92, but he's gotten a lot of 90 points, and just we'll repeat Cab Franc. Ice wine, Cab Franc, just so we're all aware, Cab Franc. Sam Neill.
Oh, yeah?
Jurassic Park.
By the way, Wayne Gretzky, where does he make his cup, Frank?
He's in Canada.
No, I get it, but any particular winery?
Niagara.
Winery under his...
Oh, it's Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, it's under his name? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
How much
yeah.
is that wine? I'm just curious.
You know what? It's not out of control. I've seen it. Nicole, do you know the price of that? You might have seen it in writings.
No, I can look it up.
It's not out of control. It's not out of control.
You know how much in his killing cost? In his killing, the Cab Franc ice wine is...
Yeah, it's pricey.
120, 130,
oh boy.
Whatever.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. No, that wine is just... It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing, but it's equally pricey.
Yeah, well, right. It's number 99 ice wine, Cab Franc.
So for the Cab, let me see. His Sauvignon Blanc, well, the Wayne Gretzky Sauvignon Blanc is just $16, which is not bad. Let me see if I can find the Cab Franc.
And that's from the Niagara Peninsula.
Yeah, they make great wines there.
They do.
Great place.
I haven't been up there recently, but this is going way back. It's beautiful up there.
It's beautiful place. This little town, Niagara on the lake. Oh my God.
Lake. It's beautiful. Oh my gosh. It's quaint.
Yes.
So while Nicole is looking that up,
sorry, Nicole, it's not that important. I didn't mean to send you on this.
No, well, I'm curious too, because you know it's Sam, it's Wayne Gretzky, so
the only
the great one.
We're talking about the Cab Franc ice wine, right?
Yes.
So the only instance I can find of it, right? Like so. So quickly, on Wine Searcher, looks like it's in Canada, and it's $82.
Okay.
But ice wine is
expensive.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, and we saw that the Sauvignon Blanc was only $16.
$16.
I don't think
he's pretty reasonable. But I know that the tasting room is like, even pre-pandemic was like weird whether or not you can go taste there. He's only open on certain days, on certain weeks, or things like that. But he's the great one, so he can do whatever he wants, in my opinion.
By the way, he also makes whiskey.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Number 99, Red Cask Whiskey. Yep.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. See, there's another podcast, like all of the celebrities that are doing spirits, you know. Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is, like, brilliant with Aviator gin. I mean, I have not tasted it. I am not a gin fan.
I have not tasted that, yes.
But his advertising is incredible and... You know.
I had no idea he was behind it somehow.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God!
$610 million or something like that.
I don't know. But it's insane. He's brilliant with the advertising and his quick wit and all of that stuff. Do you guys remember the Peloton commercial that went like viral because of like? All right. First of all, I didn't really think that woman, like, I didn't go down that route. But they you know, they were saying that the husband was really cruel to the wife for buying her a Peloton bike. Yeah. He then had that woman in a commercial for Aviator Gin that was brilliant because all she did was sit there looking like she's in shock. And her two girlfriends are saying, "You're better than he is. He doesn't deserve you. This, and all this." And then they gave her his gin, and she's drinking the gin. And then it's brilliant. He's brilliant. And then the dude from Cranston, Bryan Cranston, and the other dude from Breaking Bad, they have. tequila. Mm-hmm. Right, and they just did a...
It was sold that for over $100 million or something.
Yeah. Really?
Which one? It's not the Tequila de Leon, right? It's not that one.
I don't know. It was one of them that that George Clooney was involved with.
Oh, I think that the George Clooney, I think that was the... Hold on. He sold it or he bought it?
Sold it. I mean, he had it.
Sold it.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I need to.
That is, like, brilliant. I don't know. All right, so Sam Neill, you said, was from... Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
In the original Jurassic Park, he was the other scientist. He was the paleontologist. So it was him, Laura Dern. He and Laura Dern had the romantic interest together.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So two paddocks. Do we get the meaning behind that?
Like a velociraptor paddock?
Okay.
Isn't that also like a horse thing?
Yeah, like paddock. Well, or velociraptors, one of the two.
Well, I went, Nicole, I was thinking horse, so I didn't get the connection. But, okay. He's got I'm going to say it wrong because I don't, F-U-S-I-L-I-E-R, Fusilier, Proprietors Reserve Pinot Noir. Out of New Zealand, Central Otago, mm-hmm. 92 points.
Nice.
Yeah. And then Kyle McLaughlin, Pursued by Bear. Does that make
sense
to anybody?
Maybe he got chased by a bear in a wood somewhere.
Was he in the Reverence? What was the movie, well, whatever, with the bear? Does that make sense to anybody?
It could be a Twin Peaks thing. It sounds random enough that it could be an obscure Twin Peaks reference.
Oh, okay. A Cabernet Sauvignon from Columbia Valley in Washington, 93 points.
Nice.
Okay. The stakes are rising. And the highest celebrity wine that I could find, highest celebrity wine, never in my life... would I have thought this person was into wine. 95 points for a Mount Veeder GSM. So, okay, Mount Veeder GSM. Boz Skaggs.
Oh, my gosh. Boz Skaggs?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have no idea who that is.
Interesting, Anatoly. Back in the 70s.
Describe him.
He's blue-eyed soul guy from the 1970s and early 80s. Originally was the guitar player for the Steve Miller Band and then went off on his own. Had a couple of big albums with Silk Degrees and Middleman, Lido Shuffle, Dangers of Breakdown, Dead Ahead, sort of in that Hall & Oates kind of
mode. Okay. Yeah. 95 points, good. Nice.
95 points. So not at all thinking. You guys have to Google a picture of him and
ugly man, unfortunately. But
I was trying to be nice.
I know, but it's there. And he's been in Napa for a while. Yeah.
Interesting that Coppola does not have anything highly rated.
Okay, so I actually, he did. I left him out because I figured it was Coppola. So, and he had some the one that was in with Coppola was 93 points.
Okay. What about points. Greg Norman?
No, now Greg Norman was, I couldn't find Greg Norman in there.
And now we got 96 from Robert Parker.
Hold on, yeah, Yao wines should be very high rated.
Yeah, and James Suckling is always rated very highly, and Spectator and Advocate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think our first...
Yao, I think, gets very high reviews. Yeah. I don't know about 100, but very high.
Never got 100,
but... Yeah, but quite high.
Yeah.
Who's the winemaker there, John?
Tom Hind. Yeah, and he's the winemaker for Flowers in Sonoma.
Oh, okay.
He was with Chapelet for a while, and he was basically responsible for bringing La Crema from a 10,000, my cat's coming to say hello, from a 10,000 case production to a 100,000 case production. Hello, Jesse. Say hi to everybody. My cat is hungry.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. And by the way, what about the Jay-Z and Armand de Brignac? They should have the champagne, the Ace of Spades should have very high ratings. That might be like 97 or something.
I can see Nicole typing away. Nicole typing away. So I was on Wine Enthusiast, not Wine Spectator. So I'm sure there's a lot more. But that's true. Has anybody had that Jay-Z?
I had this. I had the champagne. Yes. It's I mean, I think I had all of them, but the first regular non-vintage, it's the acidity is phenomenal in that wine. It's just it's just something.
And it is champagne?
No, it's Armand de Brignac. Okay. This is a legit champagne producer. Yeah. He just bought it. He got upset with Cristal not respecting him enough, and he said, this is it. We're going to just stop using Cristal at all of our functions, and we're just going to do our own champagne. So he went out, and I think he bought that champagne house.
Wow.
And do you know how actively involved he is?
I have no idea. No idea.
Did they put a ring on it?
I don't know. Maybe.
So, Lori, they tend to get in the 90 to 92 range. 88 to 92 is their sort of span.
Oh.
Which wines?
Armand de Brignac.
Really? Okay. I saw that's higher. Okay. This is according to what? This is in Spectator?
Wine Spectator. Mm-hmm.
The Spectator? Okay.
Yes. And I will say the Ernie Els wines in South Africa get...
Oh, yeah.
Those get good scores, too. Because I don't follow sports. I discovered the wine first, and then discovered that he was a golfer later.
Yeah, but those guys are golfers. Golf is a very interesting sport. I mean, it's so different, you know.
That's interesting though that it's from South Africa. Like he's
yes,
not South
he
African.
Is,
he's South African.
He might be, but I know his wines. I know his wines.
Right,
I know
his wines are from South
African
Africa.
Wines,
But I don't think...
He might be.
Let's find out.
Interesting. Let's find out. This is such a educational podcast going on right now. By the way, we didn't go over what people are drinking. I'm drinking a Pinot Grigio.
He is South African.
He is? Oh, okay. Well,
I would think so. This is
downstairs.
So, I'm drinking. This is... So this is what I'm drinking. This is it's called Rosario. So and this is from Setubal. This is a Reserva 2012, and this is Wine Till Sold Out, $9.99.
Nice.
And this
nice
is
deal.
Really good. You know. I love Portuguese wines. You never know what you're going to find. And this, I took a first sip. I was like, okay. And then, like, I just opened the bottle, took a sip. Then literally 10 minutes later, oh, my God, this is perfect. For $10, this is just
gotta
absolute
love it.
Steal.
Deb, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a GSM from France, and the bottle's downstairs with Paul.
Paul is finishing the bottle, I'm going to tell you right now. Nicole, are you drinking?
Not yet, but it's going to go for a walk or a run, depending on the air quality when we get off.
Oh. So, Anatoly, I've been running on my treadmill in Portugal. So I've been running all through Portugal on iFit. Gotta love iFit. You can run whatever country you want to run.
Yes.
So... I am drinking because it's 100 degrees outside. I am drinking a Pinot Grigio Barón Montalto from Colección de Familia. It is a sample, and it is actually really, really delicious. It really is.
Good.
And Mike is on a golf expedition, so I'm going to say this is probably going to disappear before Mike gets home.
I'm sure it will.
Anyways, so are you guys, do we have any other thoughts about any celebrity wines we've had that we recommend, we've had that we're like, we don't want to recommend, or just thoughts on celebrities and wines overall?
I think it's just the takeaway that we sort of have been sharing, that by all means, go buy a winery, get into it, but learn your learn the business before you put your foot in your mouth, I think.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so it, they all have different reasons to get into wine. So, but there's a lot of good wines there. This is to me, it's not like I'm not. I don't know. I think this. If you know the celebrity, it's probably carrying a lot more weight for the people who know the person. Like all these kids who follow Post Malone, they definitely inclined to at least try his wines. To me, it's very simple. It's a celebrity wine, so it's just a differentiator. It's like the pretty label which I see on a shelf. So to me, this is, it's something I need to try. That's all. It just gives me an easy decision to buy the wine. But other than that, yeah. But there are good wines. Miraval is good wine. This again, Post Malone, this Mason number 9, it's delicious rosé. It's overpriced. At $24, it's definitely overpriced. But, you know.
That is another, though, concept that I guess as a winery that literally goes insane trying to get our name out there and trying to find new customers and trying to do that. It's a little disheartening to just have somebody come in who knows absolutely nothing about wine, slap their name on a label, and it sells out.
And it's all because of who they are.
Right.
If they don't know anything about wine, and they can't answer any questions about it. And I just feel if you're going to, whether, start a wine or, have a wine, produced table for you, or anything that you do, you need to be able to speak to it. That's my feeling on it.
Right.
One question is, Lori, what you said is, does it really sells out? I don't know, well, Nicole, you're the closest to, like, inside trade information.
People buy the wines. No, so let's put it this way. So it's difficult for us to get new customers to buy our wine because you're looking at a $20 rosé or a $34 Cab Franc, right? You're looking at those prices. People are more reserved to buy those wines until they have tasted them, which is why this pandemic has really hurt us, is because all of the events that we normally are at have been canceled, right? Once they taste it, then they decide they like it or, whatever. But that's how we get new customers. It's very difficult for us to get a new customer just from being on Instagram or just from being on Twitter, right? I mean, it's people want to taste the wine. Yet people are willing to go buy wine because it's Jay-Z or because it's whoever.
If they can identify with that celebrity.
Right.
But that's
if they
the
like
point.
It. Like that Cameron Diaz wine, clean wine aside, a lot of that wine sold. Now, I'm sure it plummeted after the whole, whatever, but then there's people who buy it because of that also. But those celebrity wines, and some of these wines that are celebrity wines are very different because their name is in the background. But the people who are the Jon Bon Jovi wine sells out all the time, and it's because it's Jon Bon Jovi, right? I mean,
I have to say I don't like this rosé, and I hate that name.
Yeah.
Because to me this is like sewage. I don't know. That gives me
well,
an image.
The Hampton,
when I hear Hampton Water, it's like that's.
But
just,
think about who he's targeting.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
he's
not
targeting
me, not
he's
me.
Targeting those Chardonnay names, right?
I know.
So like the fact if you took, let's go back to Cameron Diaz, ignoring the clean stuff, if that same bottle of wine was on a shelf, nobody is going to pick that bottle up, right? If that was John Smith wine, nobody's picking that bottle up. But how many people picked that bottle up simply because they love Cameron Diaz or...
I agree with you. That's why they're choosing that wine.
Right.
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. I will find out, okay? I will find out because you make me curious, but I'll ask my friend. He will tell me. So, friend of mine, he has a wine store here in Stamford, and he has this wine. He has her wine, he has her rosé on the shelf. And by the way, they say that their suggested retail is 24. He sells it at 14. So, then that just
right.
So you understand, and it's freely available. It does
which
not
means
say
he's getting
anywhere.
It for about six, right? He's getting it for
no. He is he might be he's
or,
a volume guy. He's a volume guy. He might
okay.
be just making $2 in the bottle. He doesn't.
Okay.
Okay. He's a volume guy. But nevertheless, that's not my point. But the wine is there, you know, and it doesn't say Cameron Diaz anywhere on the label. Because we are so involved, this is our impressions that, oh my God, everyone knows that that's her wine. I guarantee you that 95% of the people who walk into his store have no idea that that's her wine, okay? The label does
I'll
not
bet
does
you
not
a dollar.
Look, Okay. I'll bet you the friendly dollar bet.
No, if you ask your friend, the people, if he was willing to do a survey, Nicole,
he's not going to do a survey, but he will tell me at least how well does it sell. He will tell me how many bottles he got and how many bottles he sold. He will tell me if people come in and ask for it by the name. I'll find out. I'll send you guys email. I will ask him. Because you make me really curious.
Nicole, what were you going to say?
No, I mean, I'm actually very curious to find out this point. Like, I think we, as people in the industry, probably got drawn into the hoopla around it and started, so probably are very aware. As such, he has been out promoting it, so it'd be kind of interesting to see how many people, how the average consumer recognizes it. I will say I think that the bottle is very, that the label and the bottles are very attractive. It's very clean looking, which is, I guess, what they're going for. So,
you find this attractive?
I think the bottle is, it doesn't.
It's clean. It's clean.
Yeah.
It's clean, but no. But Lori, did you see the label? Did you see the label on that wine? Look it up. Look it up. I mean, it's very simplistic.
It's simplistic, but I think that appeals to a lot of people. I don't
Maybe.
Think it necessarily would jump out at me on the shelf, but it is very. But I think it's minimalist. It's
compare that to Wolfers.
Right.
I don't know, Nicole, if you know, but you might. But Debbie, I'm sure you know Wolfers from the Long Island.
Yeah.
Have you seen their? I think it's called Summer in a Bottle, all flowers and everything.
Yeah.
That thing costs $26, and they can't keep it on the freaking shelves. Yeah. People see it and people just go, "Oh my God, I have to have it!" You know.
I
don't know.
Aesthetics, though, like completely different aesthetics.
Agreed. Yes. No, Nicole, I'm not arguing.
But see now, here I go. This is why I think people who are buying that bottle know it's Cameron Diaz, is because it is simple, it is simplistic, it's not an eye-catching
no
label. That's why I think people know it's Cameron Diaz, because research has shown you have 8 seconds to catch somebody's eye to be a new label. That label doesn't catch somebody's eye in 8 seconds. So that's why I think they know it's Cameron Diaz.
Agreed. No,
it kind of looks to me more like a beauty product label, and I think that might go. That might be what they're going for. It might be working for them.
I don't know. It would be very interesting to know demographics of who's buying this. Well, really, I mean, that would be a fun project, but that's mission impossible.
All right. Well, we are over our hour limit, but it's been fun. But I can't let you guys go without my little riddle. All right. So you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. You had me today. Tomorrow you will have more. As time passes, I'm not easy to store. I don't take up space, but I'm only in one place. I am what you saw, but not what you see.
I hate these riddles.
Okay. Here we go, Ray. You had me today. Tomorrow you'll have more. As time passes, I'm not easy to store. I don't take up space, but I'm only in one place. I am what you saw, but not what you see. Oh, God, I stumped you?
It's not time, right? No?
No, but you're kind of close. Oh, see, I got this one. I didn't think this was a tough one. What do you make today that you'll have more of tomorrow? Memories? What?
Memories.
Ah, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Nice one. Good.
Never.
Memories.
Excellent work.
Thank you guys for joining me, and I appreciate you spending your Thursday evening with me.
Thank you.
This was fun.
It was great to hang out with my friend.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye.
This has been another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Thanks for listening. If you have any suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I'm also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoytbud. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find me more easily. And of course, tell your wine-loving friends, because if you like the podcast, they will too. Until next week, sláinte!